following the resignation of Wisconsin Corrections Secretary Ed Wall on Friday, amid allegations of abuse at Lincoln Hills Youth Prison, lawmakers are calling for reforms to the state's juvenile justice system. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February 16th. We will talk with two Democratic state lawmakers, Senator Lena Taylor, who serves on the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, and a little later in the hour, Mandela Barnes, the leading Democrat on the Assembly Corrections Committee, about possible changes that they would like to see implemented and how a new secretary may affect those proposals. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions about the controversy over Wisconsin's juvenile prison system. What do you make of the resignation of Corrections Secretary Ed Wall and his replacement? The governor has appointed a new corrections secretary and has said the time has come to turn the page. So what should happen now? Also on Friday, we learned that a Racine County judge had 4 years ago written about his concerns to Governor Scott Walker, expressing concern over possible criminal misconduct at the youth prison. Governor Walker says he never saw that letter. Let's welcome our first guest, Lena Taylor, a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee and a member of the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. She visited Lincoln Hills in Lincoln County last month. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy. It's such a pleasure to be with you this morning.
There's a lot going on here regarding Lincoln Hills, but let's begin with the resignation of Corrections Secretary Ed Wall, which was announced Friday. The same day that Governor Walker named Wall's replacement, Corrections Secretary John Litcher. So what is your reaction to this news?
I think the fact that the FBI have taken over the investigation at Lincoln Hills is very symbolic of the measure continuing to unfold like an onion, and finding out that Racine, all the way back to 2012, had specifically shared with Governor Walker, and a letter had specifically been drafted to Governor Walker to share the issues, that it shows that the governor's awareness and his administration's awareness of the issues at Lincoln Hills have predated the community, the state's knowledge of what was going on. So there is no question, even though in some ways I found working with the secretary different than any other secretary that had been over corrections and was able to move some different pieces forward. There is no question that his resignation has definitely left room for changes, and really, candidly, I do not know John, the new secretary, but have reached out to make an appointment to meet with him.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the Racine County judge wrote to Governor Walker in 2012. Saying that he'd have to think long and hard about sending another youth there because of the problems. Governor Walker claims that he never saw the letter, that it was handled beneath him. Is that legit as far as you're concerned?
Well, I mean, the only thing you can do is go with what the governor says, but he has been known to say one thing and do another. He also didn't know what happened 20 feet away from him in his county executive office. So I'm not going to try to speak on whether or not what the governor has said is truthful or honest. You know, I will leave that up to the lawyers that choose to sue the state. I will leave that up to the federal investigation that is being done about the harm that the state has caused to juveniles that were under our protection. And candidly, the fact that young people were raped, and the fact that individuals had to have their toes amputated speaks to inhumane treatment that is not acceptable, but it also speaks volumes to the governor's lack of adequate funding to the Department of Corrections so that there was appropriate training both for trauma-informed care, not just one time, but to be incorporated in everything that they do, and diversity training, especially after knowing that we closed two facilities and children were coming to an area where people may have never met a person of color except when they came to the correctional institution, that we have to make sure that correctional officers have the tools that they need so that they can make sure to do a good job and send the young people away not angry, not fearful, not all of those things that may in turn turn into trauma that causes them to come back to Milwaukee and victimize individuals more from the victimization that they receive while they're there. So I don't know if the governor knew or not, but I'll say he should have.
The new corrections secretary, John Litcher, actually served as corrections secretary in Tommy Thompson's administration. AFSCME Council 32 Executive Director Rick Badger said in a statement that Wall's resignation was long overdue and this is a good first step toward accountability.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you say to that?
I'll say this. The good first step was the rape. The good first step was the effort to go up and to hear from correctional officers, although I was very disappointed that AFSCME was not responsive to my office as we called, but we did speak to some correctional officers and staff there when we got there. But I would not say that the resignation of Wall was the good first step. I would say that that leaves room for many other things to happen that have been spoke about that have to be dealt with. I can't believe that the step that just happened the other day is only the first good step. I think the fact that there is accountability that is happening and there is a light that is being shined on the facility, that the information that the judge spoke about in 2012 coming out was another good piece of information that has happened. I believe there's been a number of things, including the community visit, community-based visit that we did from Milwaukee to go up there with about 20 individuals. I think that was useful.
Well, yeah, tell us about that visit. You visited Lincoln Hills last month. What stood out to you in that trip?
Well, we saw a number of things. We saw that there was a lack of diversity. We saw that the training that existed for the individuals providing programming and services seemed to lack a full understanding of trauma-informed care. It seemed that the pieces for counseling that also included clinical counseling, that also included families, was non-existent, and candidly, the amount of counseling and programming that needed to be done was clearly unable to be done because of the staffing challenges that exist. However, the facility itself, right, was not such that, the kids, were in a facility that looked clean, those kinds of pieces. But the children specifically spoke about being belittled, humiliated, that the way that officers interact with them in their communication is not just humiliating, but discouraging. But we did meet that with representatives from the DLC who were receptive to the things that we said needed to be changed. And so our perspective was, if we did the things that were outlined, and those are the things I can think of off the top of my head, in our visit, then we could move in the right direction. But without those things, that it would truly be a problem. And we need to do that until the county can determine what it can and cannot do with the young people. Many people have spoke about the need, and we did too, for children to come home. We would love to see the children closer, but that is not something that can happen right away because the children have to be assessed. And right now, barely a third of the children are. The facilities have to be identified and approved We don't even know what locations could be used. So our effort really, Joy, was an effort to go and touch the children, touch the staff, let them know that we are accessible and available, and that if they are open to talking with us and communicating with us, that we're here as well as the community members who were with us.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk more with Lena Taylor, Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee, a member of the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, who visited the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison in Lincoln County last month, talking about changes that she would like to see in the juvenile justice system. And we'll welcome your questions and your thoughts, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are following up on the resignation of Wisconsin Department of Corrections Secretary Ed Wahl on Friday, amid the news that the FBI is investigating the abuse allegations at the state's facility for juvenile offenders, Lincoln Hills. We also learned on Friday that a Racine County judge had written to Governor Scott Walker 4 years ago expressing concern over possible criminal misconduct at the youth prison. Walker said he never saw that letter. Now, lawmakers are calling for reforms to the state's juvenile justice system, and we are talking with one of them, Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor, who serves on the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. She visited the youth prison in Lincoln at Lincoln Hills last month. Coming up in just a few minutes, we will welcome in State Representative Mandela Barnes, also from Milwaukee. He is the leading Democrat on the Assembly Corrections Committee, talking about some of the possible changes that they would like to see implemented amid all this news. We did, by the way, invite Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee Chair, Republican State Senator Van Wongard, to join us today. He was unavailable. We also asked Assembly Corrections Committee Chair, State Representative, Republican State Representative Rob Hutton, to join us, but he was unavailable. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org if you have a question or a view for Senator Taylor. Jacob in La Crosse does. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Joy. Morning.
Morning.
Hi. Well, and good morning to Lena, as well, your guest.
Good morning.
I just wanted to bring up a couple of points here that I've noticed. This is not a daycare that we're talking about. This is a prison, and everybody has a right to freedom and safety. However, we cannot continue to coddle juvenile offenders. You know, a majority of these folks are violent offenders. They're felons, and they are there for a reason. I'm not saying that they deserve any ill will or ill treatment from other inmates or staff members. Another thing that needs to be remembered is a lot of the allegations that are coming up are not from the staff. It's not the staff that's sexually assaulting the inmates. It's the inmates that are harming each other. And most of that is due to understaffing and, you know, underappreciation of the correctional field. And I think situations like this really downplay the importance of the correctional field and the officers who play a very important role in the rehabilitation of the offender.
All right. Senator Taylor, Jacob says it's important that we remember this. What do you say?
Well, a couple things. I don't disagree with Jacob that there is understaffing. There's been underfunding. There has been long time arguments for that. We argued that during the Finance Committee. These arguments in regards to what is happening in our institutions, however, are not new. And I would say that the ACLU's lawsuit that happened years ago about our treatment of women in Tichita and the audit report that told us about how we dealt with mental health issues in the correction system and how the correctional officers were not adequately trained or informed or knowledgeable as they moved forward in that knowledge. They did inhumane treatment. Because of that, we had to change our behavior or system in Wisconsin, I would argue that when we changed it in the adult system, we should have looked all the way to the juvenile system because clearly there were challenges. This isn't about coddling anyone, and we should use the facts. Only a third, maybe, of the individuals there are individuals who are offenders that need to be secured. At least a third of them are individuals that do not have assessments that put them in the category that was articulated by a caller. And then lastly, this is nothing about coddling. Anybody who knows me knows that coddling is not the perspective I come from. I come from the perspective of fairness and justice and humaneness. And I will not stand for inhumaneness. And I will speak and argue for justice no matter where it falls. And these children are just that. And also for the treatment that we give them based on trauma-informed care. There's a way to do things. And that's the way that, frankly, we've been arguing long before Representative Goyke brought the idea to Representative Mandela Barnes and the idea that they have been pushing with Missouri. We are on the same page with that. Actually, Minnesota has a model that Representative Tamara Grigsby and I spoke 2 years ago when we were speaking about the kind of correction reform that should happen. So, and I'm certain before me that, you know, that Congresswoman Moore, when she was in the Senate, and Gary George spoke to issues that should exist. These are not new issues, and the fight continues to, you know, create change. It's not about coddling. It's about doing what we know is correct. And everyone is not a extreme offender. There are individuals who are there for technical violations. Understaffing is true. Yeah. But it does not justify inhumane treatment that's been identified in our system for some time.
So what should the state do to ensure that this situation is resolved and doesn't occur again?
I think that's a great question, and thank you for asking. I think the same things that Representative Grigsby and I argued years ago about a different layout, a different system, infrastructure on how we have our present juvenile system is necessary. That's why we tried to move the justice system for the juveniles into the Department of Children and Families when we had it created years ago. We fought for that. I fought very hard to create the Department of Children and Families. I think it's time to consider that juvenile justice needs to be in that facility, in that department, in that kind of thinking, I should say. Second, we have to deal with the harm that we've caused now, and we have to do some kind of what works for the population from Milwaukee very effectively as art therapy type of efforts. I think we need to do that kind of and other kind of clinical work. We're down, I think it's 4 clinical staff. We need to address that. We need diversity. I know that immediately 2 people of color were hired to address staff diversity. We're going up and doing a Black History program for them this week, this Sunday. And so I'm hoping for more diversity so that children can feel comfortable in who they are and be reaffirmed in an environment that does not always suggest appropriateness and fairness. And I think there are many other clinical pieces that need to be put in place, like the clinical staff that went up with us for the community-based visit that we did and what they recommended. I think the follow-up there. But we've got to put some money to it when you get done. And the priority has to be that we're going to address this inhumane treatment that is happening, whether it is to deal with it from staffing, whether it is to deal with it from services inside the institution, or whether it is to deal with the contracting that we do so that that service is diverse. We have to address it. We have to put our money where our mouth is, where our heart is. We cannot let ourselves continue to watch this happen and sit on the sidelines. We went to finance and we did not prioritize it. This assembly is closing down, is my understanding. They're finishing up and they have not prioritized it.
Are you, Senator Taylor, on board with the suggestion that Lincoln Hills and its counterpart for girls, the Copper Lake Girls School in Irma, should or could be shut down and reopen the Ethan Allen School for Boys and the Southern Oaks School for Girls that's in the Milwaukee area?
I am not for the reopening of Ethan Allen's facility necessarily. But I will say this. I am going to let the decision of whether or not Lincoln Hills needs to be closed, I need the facts and the investigation fully about that. But what I do know is that I do not disagree with Judge White. And that our children should be local. And I'd like to see that happen. I do not disagree with the county executive saying he'd like to bring the young people back. I do not disagree with the county board saying that they're going to do what they can, and they put some dollars to oversight to see if the state is providing the services that the children need. I am for the state making an investment in local areas because it goes to trauma-informed care, programming and services, which is the philosophy that even the First Lady touts as her philosophy and her thing that she's championing. So we should not just talk about it. We should make sure that our actions are being about it. And that means that we have to implement the policies in a way that will be true to that kind of approach. That means that you have to have children close to family and community so that they can stay connected, because otherwise that's a trauma that is ultimately inflicted on them. So if we're going to move them, or when we move them from Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, it needs to be home. It needs to be the Milwaukee area. It needs to be something like maybe the complex that is near the children's court system can be converted to accommodate young people. Once we have an assessment of the 100 and about not 70, 60-something kids that are in the area and we know their level of risk, those questions can be more easily answered. And I'd be happy to come back, Joy, and share, because once we know that, we can know what kind of security is needed for each child and what kind of programming.
And we will. We'll have you back. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Lena Taylor, Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee, a member of the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. She has been certainly following the news coming out of Lincoln Hills. She visited Lincoln Hills Youth Prison in Lincoln County last month. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are now going to talk with another state lawmaker who is also following closely the news from Lincoln Hills. The Wisconsin Corrections Secretary Ed Wall resigned on Friday amid allegations of abuse at Lincoln Hills and amid the news that the FBI was investigating these allegations of abuse, and amid the news that a Racine County judge released a letter that he wrote to Governor Walker 4 years ago expressing concern over possible criminal misconduct at Lincoln Hills. Governor Walker says he never saw that letter. So where do we go from here? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Mandela Barnes, a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee and the ranking Democrat on the Assembly Corrections Committee. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much for joining us. And I know it's going to be a very, very long day for you as the Assembly is wrapping up its business day. What is your reaction?
It's very unfortunate.
And maybe we can. I'm sorry about that. What is your reaction to Corrections Secretary Ed Wall's resignation and Governor Walker announcing that former Corrections Secretary John Litcher will be his replacement?
Right. So with former Secretary Wall resigning, I think that points to something even larger going on. I've said that a number of times. And unfortunately, it's the governor continuing to pass blame. The governor has gotten away countless times with ignoring allegations, ignoring the abuses that have been alleged at the Lincoln Hills facility in Copper Lake. Quite frankly, when the governor ignored a judge's request to look into what was going on, yeah, that signals a serious misstep, a serious willful ignorance of conditions at a state-run facility, and it's very unfortunate. It shows a very low level of concern, a very low level of compassion for people in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, Jerry on Facebook says, Walker says he never saw the 2012 letter from the Racine County judge, which expressed concerns about Lincoln Hills. First, there must be a staffer who chose to not share the letter and filed it in the circular file cabinet. Second, it took 4 years for this pot to boil over. And third, if a letter from a county circuit court judge does not rank as important enough to consider, exactly what does? Is that what you're thinking, Representative Barnes?
Well, absolutely. You look at the concerns. You look at the bills that we take up. One today, water privatization. You look at all the other issues that have had some level of importance or have taken priority over that Trump, public safety. I mean, this is a public safety issue because you're dealing with, you know, state employees and at the same time people who are housed in state correctional facilities, both having instances of alleged abuse taking place, whether it was staff on staff, student on student, student on staff, or vice versa. So it's very unfortunate that we would let this sort of mayhem take place, and with a governor, you know, who when it was brought to his attention, he made the conscious decision. He can say he didn't see it. I mean, that's an excuse, like the dog ate my homework. And with Secretary Wall resigning, this is a situation that I feel that the former secretary felt the need to get out of, because what may come up next? And my biggest fear is that, you know, in our adult facilities, that there are even worse things going on. And how many times do you hear the stories about what it's like in prison? And it's become accepted. It's become accepted that these facilities are run in a way that does not respect safety. And that's the unfortunate part about it, because when you look at youth offenders, too many people, like one of the previous callers said, you know, they're still inmates. They don't need to be coddled. Well, no, they don't need to be coddled, but they do need to be rehabilitated. And if the conditions aren't set forth or put in place where a rehabilitation process can take place, we're going to have even worse results, and we're going to see this high level of recidivism. You even look at the woman whose son was sexually abused at the facility, and she did not even find out for quite some time. We have to make sure that although these are inmates, although they are incarcerated for whatever the amount of time, that there is safety in place. And that hasn't happened. The governor hasn't cared to make that happen. And I know that the governor does not run the Department of Corrections, but he appoints the secretary. And if there is a judge, I have to go with the judge on this one, because there are so many other instances where the governor has just turned a blind eye, has just ignored pleas for help from whatever group of people, be it inmates or be it people in other parts of the state who don't want a mine built on the land where they get water and the wild rice. So the governor has done this time and time again.
The governor said it's time to turn the page on this. So what do you want to see happen as we turn this page?
I completely disagree that it's time to turn the page. I think now more than ever is the time to put together a real reform in the criminal justice system, not just for the Lincoln Hills facility in Copper Lake, but for the entire Department of Corrections, for our adult facilities as well. You know, we've done corrections so wrong for so long in the state of Wisconsin, across this entire country. This is the opportunity for the governor to be a leader and say that we will do things differently in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, I don't see the governor taking that leadership role in doing so, in implementing necessary reforms and impressing the secretary to explore other options, to explore more creative options, to explore more effective options when it comes to rehabilitation for, you know, especially our youth inmates, especially our youth offenders, because that is where we have the best chance of making a difference. And, you know, I know Senator Taylor said that they were going to do a Black History program, and that's fine and all. However, that will not create systemic change or systematic change. It will not create, that does not change the policies that are set forth in the Department of Corrections.
We'll talk more about some of those policy changes you would like to see after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Talking with Mandela Barnes during this half hour, he's a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee and the ranking Democrat on the Assembly Corrections Committee. Talking with him about some of the reforms that lawmakers are calling for the state's juvenile justice system. Amid the investigation and the allegations of abuse at Lincoln Hills Youth Prison in Lincoln County. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We did invite, by the way, Assembly Corrections Committee Chair Rob Hutton to join us during this hour, but he was unavailable. But Representative Barnes, Representative Hutton is calling for a study on the effectiveness of Wisconsin's juvenile corrections system. Do you think that that's a good next step to take?
I do think that it is a good next step to take. To do a study committee, because it brings together members of the legislature in a balanced partisan atmosphere, and the recommendations aren't just brought forth by us. There are professionals in the process who are involved and who provide their input. So, I do think that is a positive step in the right direction. We'd still like to hear more from Republicans and Republicans in leadership positions, especially in terms of corrections and criminal justice, on the issue. So I do think that that is one step in the right direction. Another one, like I talk about, because the staffing issue is a very serious problem. Again, not just at Lincoln Hills, not just at Copper Lake, but across the entire Department of Corrections, because people are not staying with the Department of Corrections. People are getting employed. They're realizing that the working conditions aren't suitable. There's no mechanism for them to collectively bargain their working conditions, which is one of those consequences, seen or unforeseen, of Act 10. And with that being the case, with the staffing, issues that exist, you can study how to be better, to be stronger, to be more effective on juvenile corrections. However, there are still problems that will exist, and they are real problems that have also been ignored.
Yeah. So do you think we should reverse Act 10, especially when it comes to the corrections system?
I think that the same way that police and firefighters, if that is the governor's, if that is his reasoning for exempting police and firefighters from the Act 10 collective bargaining restrictions, I think it should absolutely be explored for not only for correctional officers and many other departments and many other places where people work in the state of Wisconsin. But right now, this is the paramount issue, and it has to be explored. It has to be considered because just imagine. You're looking at people who are working repeat 16-hour shifts, repeat overtime. We're looking at people whose safety is constantly at risk. It can be a very hostile environment because it is such a tense environment.
Yeah. We had a caller who dropped during the news who says we need a systematic overhaul of juvenile detention and that the juvenile offenders need to be integrated back into their communities. And we heard Senator Taylor saying, let's bring these children, inmates, home. Where do you stand on that?
Well, Representative Goyke and I have put together, have not had the chance to speak with Senator Taylor about, her specific ideas. But in speaking with, and Representative Goyke and what we put together with the Missouri model that was explored, that we called for the study on, it would effectively do that. It would create more geographically dispersed detention facilities for youth offenders so that they are closer to home, so that there is an opportunity for family to be involved, which is one of the key factors in successful juvenile rehabilitation. Having that family structure, knowing that there is support when they leave the facility, knowing that there is a pathway to a more productive life, be that job training, be that getting a GED, going to school, whatever the case may be, so that there are other options besides a life on the streets or a life of crime. So being closer to home absolutely helps. You know, wish that there was more work done on the Joint Committee on Finance, you know, with funding those types of structures for our students, but it wasn't done.
Let's take some calls. We have Jerry in Menasha with us. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Thank you for this subject. I appreciate it so much. Our entire prison system is corrupted nationwide to begin with. We've got private prisons, we've got this, we've got that. But when it comes to juvenile facilities, these are children that society has failed. That's why they're there. They were given no options. We haven't supported the areas in our state where this type of situation, where crime is the only alternative to survival, and it's time that we did something about that. We have to address the environment from which these kids come. They're still children. All children are our children, no matter who or what they are. We have to take that attitude. We have to protect them, those that need punishment, but they do need rehabilitation. We have to come up with the funding for these things. It's a matter of proper funding to correct these situations, and we're a disgrace in this state. Milwaukee is particularly has been, it's the most segregated city in the United States. Isn't that a wonderful way of looking at our state? Shame on us.
Jerry, thank you for the call. Well, a reaction, Representative Barnes?
Certainly appreciate that. That was, you know, that is what we're dealing with. There are conditions that lead so many of our youth and our adults. Because you look at the joblessness rate, you look at the rate of poverty, these are very high levels of just destitution that lead people to unthinkable things. When we're talking about communities in the city of Milwaukee with living conditions that you could not imagine, certain neighborhoods with living conditions, certain, you know, households, certain blocks with living conditions, and it is unfortunate. I would never suggest someone to turn to a life of crime, but I have never lived in some situation that too many people are living in because there are very few options. We have done juvenile corrections wrong. We've done adult corrections wrong. The mechanism for rehabilitation does not exist in a way that makes it effective, and that is why I absolutely think we need to overhaul the entire Department of Correction. There are different models being tried out across the entire country in some very conservative parts of the country at that. Wisconsin is being very slow to adapt to changing circumstances, and that is a shame in and of itself because we have the opportunity to be leaders in this country. That is what I would like us to see. That is the Wisconsin I want to live in, where we see problems and we say we'll fix the problems. And we say that we're going to be better than any other state in this country when it comes to addressing those issues. Just last year, when Grover Norquist came to the state capitol and he talked about, you know, being right on crime, I thought that that would be our moment in the state of Wisconsin. When the governor was at that point considering his run for president, I thought, what better opportunity to prove his leadership than to address the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem, that we have in the state of Wisconsin. There is a 13% African-American male incarceration rate in this state. That is a shame, but how did we get to this point? And like the caller brought up, the conditions that so many people, are faced with, how can we, that the justification is right there. Society has not done enough. The state of Wisconsin has not done enough to ensure that a quality of life exists where this does not have to be an option, where crime does not have to be an option. But that's not the case.
Yeah. Let me take another call from Ken in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Ken.
Well, at the beginning of this thing here, you said that the governor claimed not to have gotten the letter from the judge. Well, you go back to his days as county executive. There was a problem with the mental health unit there that was ignored for 3 years. And in the current administration, you got things like Mike Hipsch saying we need to evade open records law. Don't send an email. I won't respond. WEDC, a lot of mismanagement there. The governor has a long history of not being able to manage his underlings. And I say that not as a Democrat, but as a former Republican. And these are some of the reasons I left the party right there.
Thank you, Ken. Representative Peter Barca was on the show yesterday, and he said the Walker administration and Republican legislators must be held accountable for the crisis in corrections, including Lincoln Hills. Representative Barnes, do you think, how should the governor or Republican legislators be held accountable?
Well, first, I think they should say something. We haven't heard anything. That's the first step. There is a total evasion of responsibility that's going on right now. The governor has, I don't remember what the governor has said on this issue, besides age. This is something that has to be confronted. We're in a culture of secrecy, and I'm glad he brought up the open records that, in a Governor Walker world, in a Governor Walker, Wisconsin, we would never know if the judge legitimately contacted. And that's the main reason why I am sure that the governor made contact with it, or excuse me, why the judge made contact with the governor's office. There's a reason that the governor wants to hide records. And even back to being county executive, you look at deferred maintenance with the county parks, with our award-winning parks. You let them go down the drain because of deferred maintenance in order to create this false surplus that doesn't really exist because everything was ignored. The governor has been in office and being led purely by ambition and not making the necessary changes that we need. So first, when it comes to...
We're almost out of time, Representative Barnes. I guess we'll have you back when there's a new development. Right. Thanks very much for being with us. Mandela Barnes, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee, ranking Democrat on the Assembly Corrections Committee. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Nyasia Ellison, and to Elizabeth Deliquest for producing the program.